Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Christopher John O'Shea is here tonight.
I am, sir. It's great to be with you.
It's good to have you.
Listen to a song that, how old is that song? It's almost 60 years old.
60? No, it's not that old.
55 years old.
Yeah, I guess, you know, now that you add it up, you know, it is 55 years, I guess, when they first came. Anyway, that's a long time. And tonight, Chris,
we're not going to be here as long tonight. We're just going to be here for another 50 minutes.
That's right.
But the listeners are our guests. It's an open show.
It's a very open show, and it's the most open of open shows because our listeners get to be our guests. They get to call in and say, Drew and Chris, this is the way I want the conversation to go tonight. This is what I want to hear about. If you could help me with this, this would be fantastic if you'd answer this question for me. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, direct the conversation tonight on an open show. And that's the way you do it, calling in 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and direct the conversation. So, Chris, we do a lot of education on our website. We call it the Education Center, and you can call in and read a lot of, it's about education. And we write a lot of articles and so forth. And you can read those articles. We do monthly videos on just topics.
Yeah, sure.
What are markets doing? You know, what are some hot financial planning topics at this time of the year? You know, and so forth. But there have been a couple of really good articles. One that is in the Consulate Journal right now is called Inertia. And the other one is coming in a week or so. And I was talking to Sean about it this morning, which is tax history. Every voter must read about tax history and why tax history and understanding tax history is so important. Because when our country was first founded, income taxes were not a part of the deal. It wasn't really even allowed. They had to get a constitutional amendment in 1913 to add the right for the federal government to create a federal income tax. And here's the point. Every tax that the federal government has come up with to tax the rich has ended up falling on the shoulders of the middle class and even the lower class, lower income. Well, you know, it's only logical it does, but people try to believe that it doesn't and that somebody else is going to pay these taxes.
Yeah, so there's no huge obstacles initially when it's floated as an idea. Oh, they're going to tax the rich.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, we don't have a problem with that. And, you know, in 1913, when they passed the income tax, it was designed to be a 1% tax on the equivalent of people today making about $400,000. And the reason they were going to do it is because a lot of the smaller states around the country, Kentucky and Tennessee and Florida, and, you know, even those states where they didn't have really, really wealthy people, the wealthy people were concentrated in New York and the Northeast, Massachusetts and so forth, and somewhat in California. And basically they were saying these extremely wealthy people ought to bear the responsibility of taxes and not be distributed out to all our states. And so they came up with this concept and 36 states out of the country or, you know, and that's a big debated issue. Was it ever really truly ratified?
Right.
And I'm not going to get into it. Yeah. It's 100 some years ago and it's settled.
Don't pay your taxes, you're going to jail.
Yeah. You don't pay your taxes, you're going to jail. And the concept was fought over. You know, basically, the states passed it because they said this is only going to hit these wealthy people. Within 5 years, 5 years, it went from 1% up to like 4% to something like 6% to people making the equivalent of today about $40,000. to up to 70% of people over making over like $1 million or so dollars. And the alternative minimum tax in 1969 was passed to only hit 60 families in the United States. In 2017, it hit 5,200,000 households in America. The estate tax was designed to only hit the top, you know, 100 families in the United States. And, you know, it now comes down to something like 10% of all Americans could potentially fall into some form of estate taxation. You know, don't buy this garbage. I do have a caller online. You know, it's always about the rich. Anyway, Jeff in Eldersburg.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, buddy?
I have a question about mutual fund fees.
Okay.
I bought funds years ago. They were front-loaded funds and paid the front load. Now I'd like to change fund companies, but I'm being advised to buy funds that are also front-loaded. And I guess I'm going to have to pay those fees again.
No, you don't. You just, Jeff, you just go, I mean, number one, you got to be worried about two things. Number one, you don't buy front-loaded funds again. Go buy your own funds. Go to Vanguard or T. Rowe Price and get them to buy the funds for you, which are no-load funds. And or go to Schwab or Fidelity, and they'll buy you all no-load funds. You don't need whoever's telling you buy more front-load funds. That's garbage. But the second thing is you got to be careful when you switch out of the funds you're in to new funds. You got to consider what's my cost basis and how much how much capital gains do I have in those funds, and what am I going to have to report? That's the big issue that you have to worry about. But well, you probably don't have a lot.
These are retirement IRAs.
Oh, these are retirement accounts. That's great. Then you just sell them. Call T. Rowe Price. Call Fidelity. Call Schwab. Buy funds that have no commission. They'll give you advice. They'll help you choose which funds are appropriate for you. Go to Vanguard. They'll take care of you just like whoever this person is making commissions, selling these things to. You don't need them.
Well, I've read recently where a lot of the fund companies like American Funds and things were going to change the way they buy and sell funds, that they were going to get rid of the loaded funds.
Yeah, but they're going to come in with what are called C-shares, Jeff. And C-shares, they're going to hit you with no load up front, but then they're going to charge you like 1.5, 1.75% per year and give the person that sold it to you, you know, 0.75% or 1% a year in commissions.
Each year, right.
Well, you can.
I think they were called F funds, and they were saying that they would be a new way of purchasing them. But I was wondering if the yearly expense ratios were high.
Well, that's what normally happens with those funds. But the problem you have, Jeff, is you have to ask yourself, what's the person that is telling me or giving me this advice? What are they adding to the equation other than saying these are the funds I ought to buy? And if that's all they're doing, go to Schwab, go to T. Rowe Price, go to Vanguard, and you'll dramatically drop the expenses of your mutual funds. You definitely will never pay commissions. Because unless somebody's doing a lot more for you, you shouldn't be paying anything for somebody to pick funds for you.
These other fund companies don't have any loads associated to their funds, like T. Rowe Price, et cetera?
T. Rowe Price, Vanguard, or just go to a discount brokerage firm like Fidelity or Schwab, and they'll pick no-load funds for you if that's what you want, and you can get the cost down as low as you desire. All right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy, you take care. And don't pay commissions if they're not offering you a ton of extra service. A ton of extra service. All right, we got to go to first traffic break, and then we'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283. to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show tonight. That means that we're making our callers our guests tonight. Yep. So any of our listeners who want to call in, ask questions, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, Jeff had a great question on mutual funds and fees. I got another caller on the line in a second. I'll be with them. That's Gene in Columbia. You can come in and
Several open lines. You
can say, hey, this is the topic I want to hear about. I want to hear about taxes. I want to hear about estate planning. I want to talk more about tax history that you and Chris and I were talking about earlier, and make sure that I understand that, you know, what these people are saying in Washington about higher taxes on the rich really is just an open door to ultimately come down and clobber the lower income taxpayers. But anyway.
Yeah, Connecticut will probably do that. They just instituted tax. That's another topic.
Who did that?
Connecticut.
Another one? Yep.
Capital gains tax increased it up to by 2%. Up to
of course that's only on the 8%, rich. Chris.
It's only on the rich. Only the people making over $500,000.
Absolutely. And don't worry, it'll never come down to you. We're going to Gene in Columbia. How can we help you?
First of all, Drew, I'd like to thank you for having a live actual call in show rather than pre-recording it.
Well, next week will be pre-recorded, but that's only because we're in Austin, Texas next week. So
for the first time ever, you've probably
done
that.
For the first time in about 2 years, three years. Yeah. Go ahead, Gene.
I read an article in Kiplinger's magazine, and we're talking about RMDs, and they mentioned something that I'd never heard of before.
Qualified longevity annuity contracts.
Can you tell me how exactly that works, and why would anybody want to use one?
Personally, I think they're a waste of time and thought process. But
it just sounds like you're kicking the can down the road.
Well, what the qualified longevity annuity is, you have the right to put $100,000 into this annuity, and when you put that $100,000 into it, that money will grow at a fixed interest rate until I think it's 85 years of age, right, Chris?
That sounds about right.
And during that period of time, you won't have a required minimum distribution on it. So in essence, if I'm 70, 71 years of age and all of a sudden I get my first RMD and I got to pay taxes on it and I think, gosh, I wish I don't really need this. Why am I paying taxes on this? Why don't I just save this money for the longer term and then, you know, I'll start withdrawing it later, but I really don't want to pay taxes on this for these next 15 years. You could use a qualified longevity annuity, but these things have been around for at least 5 years now, and I haven't yet, and it could have been around longer, I haven't yet ever even considered wasting my client's time talking about a qualified longevity annuity. If they gave you the ability to do it with a lot more money, right, you know, like sure, $500,000 or $1 million, or if they gave you the ability to use equity-related annuity contracts that you could use and hold, I would have considered it. But you also have another problem right now, too, and that is that Congress has got this big retirement bill they're looking at. Now, these guys are too busy talking about stupid things.
Sure.
They're not going to run the country right now.
No.
But they do have this really big bill on the table, Gene, which is planning to possibly eliminate the required minimum distribution on a traditional IRAs. And if they do that, then the qualified longevity annuity is a waste of money.
Well, so, that's true, but it sounds like even if you went with one of those things, you're betting on taxes on the money being lower than they are now.
You're betting on it being lower. You're betting that the fixed rate of return they're going to give you is going to be something reasonable, but everything I've seen, they've been like 2%, 3% is what they've typically been talking, and you're also betting that you're going to be alive at 85 or 90 years of age.
Well, that's true.
So, I haven't yet figured out the benefit of them. Unless I had a client that only had $100,000, they didn't want required minimum distributions, they're not charitably minded, and they really just want to fix interest rate, maybe it would work for them.
How is the government going to justify? I've been putting money into a traditional IRA since, I think, 1981, when they first came out.
Yeah.
And I've got just over six figures. And how are they going to justify this forgiveness for all the tax that they're expected on that?
See, because the reason they're going to do it, the other second part of the law is that when you die, your children are going to have to pay taxes on it in 10 years from the day of your death.
Okay.
Whereas currently your children are 40, they'd have 45 years to distribute. If your children are 20 or your grandchildren are 20, they'd have 65 years to withdraw.
So IRAs do not have to step up and
bake. No, never have.
Okay.
All right, Gene?
I can see that. Thank you.
I got to run. Let's go to Henry in Falston. Henry, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I have a question about IRA to Roth conversions.
Okay.
At a specific point in my life. Briefly, my wife and I have about $2 million in the invested, and three-quarters of that is in pre-tax dollars between her VALIC, her 403B, my 401K, and the rest is in brokerage and Roth. We've been paying into the Roth $6,500 or whatever it was all along, but then my company allowed me to go have a bottom line where I could contribute more Roth money. But it's becoming immediately apparent now that I'm starting to go toward retirement, that I'm not going to be able to cover all my expenses with just her salary and or her pension. We're going to have to dig into our investments. We're delaying Social Security to about 70. So the question is, with that much money, my tax bracket's not going to change much as I move into retirement. I can see that now.
Okay.
So I'm wondering about the wisdom of, at this time in my life, about 64 years old, if I were to move, say, $50,000 to $100,000 a year from an IRA to a Roth conversion and pay for the taxes each year out of my brokerage account and then reinvest that money, since I'm waiting way down the line to ever take that Roth money back, I'm going to go with my IRA money first and then keep the Roth at the end of my
The strategy, Henry, can be very beneficial. And matter of fact, we consider that a lot of times. So the first thing you got to do is get over, and it sounds like you already have, is get over the emotional trauma of paying all those extra taxes all those years, because you're investing for the long term, not for today. You're not worried about the bird in the hand. You're going for the two in the bush, and you see the economic benefit of it. But that's one. Second, though, you have to be very careful to not assume that you're going to be in the same or lower tax bracket in the future, because even if somebody was making only about $50,000 or $60,000 total in retirement, I could argue that they're going to be in a higher tax bracket than somebody who's making $150,000 in retirement. Because what happens in that 50 to 60 range is all of a sudden, bam, you start triggering Social Security taxation, that $1,000 could be taxed at about 32-33%, even though they're only in about a 15 or 22% tax bracket or something of that effect. So, there's all kind of quirky parts of the tax law that you have to analyze when you're making this decision of converting assets now and paying taxes on them, as opposed to waiting in the future. But I think you're going to be right paying the taxes in lower brackets now, especially with this current tax law where rates have been reduced, could prove to be very beneficial to you. But I can't tell you for a fact. But
right.
Can you hold on for me? Can you hold on? We'll come back to you after this break.
Yep, sure.
I got to do traffic or Chris is going to start screaming at me in a second, okay? So hold on. We'll be right back to you, right? There you go. All right, go ahead, Chris. Take it away. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That's just strange.
Hang on. Blues.
The Blue Brothers. The Blues Brothers.
No. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not music. It's not a song. I gotta go. We're on an open show tonight. We're on an open show. He's on the road again. I'm on an open show. And who is that, Chris? Chris wants to know. Chris wants to know who that is. There you go.
It is Canned Heat.
Okay.
That's who I thought.
I thought it was somebody else.
I was
going to
say that.
I know you are. You should have said it, but you don't like to brag.
I didn't think it was a music back then, and I don't think it is now. Anyway, we're on an open show, Chris.
As you go back to our caller.
I'm going to.
One of the things you did fail to say was that he was music to your ears. He's putting money into Roths for a long time.
Yeah.
He's putting additional money in his retirement plan into Roth.
And he's looking to pay the tax on the conversion.
And he's thinking about doing that. So.
And that strategy that this guy knows what he's talking about here.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But I want to just tell our other listeners, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you, like Henry, want to talk about your topic of choice, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. Henry, sorry about that. Let's get back to our topic here. Go ahead and talk. Go ahead and ask your question.
Well, what became apparent this year as I'm moving, working less, we had to take money out, and we have literally no debt. So we had to take the money out of the IRA and pay taxes on it, and I just got slammed with the realization that coming out of, I have to pay taxes on this money at an ordinary income rate, and I'm trying to reduce the amount of money on the IRA side and get it into something else. And the only thing I could think of was the Roth conversion.
Well,
and
that's
just
true.
Push that money to the end of my life and let it grow as a Roth and just pay the taxes on it now with Trump being in and the current tax situation.
A lot of the analysis you're going to have to do is going to require assumptions. And that's the,
right.
That's the only problem is going to be you're going to have to make assumptions of what the future holds. And that's part of the problem of doing the analysis, but it's worth it. And you just need to have somebody that can do a detailed, comprehensive portfolio and tax analysis at the same time, showing you what would happen. You know, we use programs to do this. So we have, and it would say, okay, what would happen if you retire and you just pay the taxes on it as you go along, assuming that rates pretty much stay in the same ballpark? And then you do another one that says, okay, what if all of a sudden rates do this? And I've already converted to a Roth and pay taxes here. What happens if this? And, you know, and it can help you to try to, you know, zero in on, well, is there a lot of economic advantage to my strategy? And that's what you have to do. And it sounds like you're doing some of that, but you really need to lay it out in more detail, not just make a gut decision on it.
But this may be a viable option if I explore it further.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that we recommend quite often, and a lot of our clients won't make the move to do it because they just can't swallow paying that taxes, even when we show them how beneficial it could be to them. But a lot of them still do, but not all of them. So
and the tax shouldn't be paid on that money. Shouldn't be paid out of the IRA that you're taking out of. You should get it out of the bank account.
Absolutely. If you take it out of the IRA that you're converting, so in other words, I'm going to convert $100,000 and then I'm going to send another $20,000 over to the federal and state government to pay my assumed taxes, you've ruined the benefit of what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Now there are theoretical ways that would work. So as I always told my clients, if the federal government, instead of the Trump tax law, they would have given us a flat tax law where they eliminated all deductions, but they dropped the rates down to like 22 or 23%, something like that, I would have told my clients to convert every nickel they've got, and if they have to, pay the taxes out of the IRA. And it would have been a big win for everyone to have done that. But under the new tax law, the one that Trump passed, you really got to have other assets to pay those taxes with. All right?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Good call. Great question. And he's doing the right work. Joe in York, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. Great show. I have two quick questions here. First off, I'm 57 years old. I need to rebalance my portfolio. Right now I'm about 80 equities, 20 bonds. And what I was wondering, should I kind of do a cost averaging and do that over a few months' time? Or let's say I need to move $300,000. Do you recommend doing it all at once or doing it in increments? And if so, how small of increments or how large of increments and how long?
Well, the first question you have to ask is, why do you want to do that? And, why do you want to drop down your equity exposure? I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just curious as what your reasoning is.
Well, I've ridden this great market, like we all have, for quite a long time. I'm a big advocate in Vanguard, and I got my one-year annual little physical, so to speak, with them, and they said, boy, they said, it's your age. Well, I'm going to be 58 next month. It's your age. We recommend the maximum aggressive at 65-35. And I thought, well, if I'm at 80-20, I should maybe at least look at 70-30 or something like that. But I got to do it eventually. And I'm thinking I'm
well, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
All right. You have to always wonder about the bond market right now and, the Federal Reserve has manipulated the bond market for what, something like 10 years now?
Yep.
And they tried to stop manipulating it and the market revolted against them to some degree. But sooner or later, the market is not going to have the manipulation of central banks in there. And, there's going to come a time where inflation is going to come back. I've got my theories as to how that's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And it could come back in vengeance. And if it does, those bond investments that these people are telling us to hold on to could be difficult investments to own through that period as the manipulation of central banks come off. But now with that said, you also have a problem in the stock market. The stock market is trading at, what's that, Chris, 175% of GDP, which is about as high
as it's been.
High as it's been. And so you got a problem in the stock market also that you have to think about. So I hate these companies who say, gee, at your age, you should be down to 35% in bonds. I think that's a bunch of bull. And it depends on the client's risk tolerance ability.
So go out and read about an equity glide path by Kitsies and Wade Fow, P-F-A-U, just to hear another perspective on that. They say a rising equity glide path through your retirement years.
And if I were... If I were you, Joe, and I wanted to just pull back, say, another 10% of my portfolio because I just want to be a little more conservative right now because the bond market's weird, the stock market's a little on the high side, I would just sell it all soon just for the, you know, because you're already up near Hythe.
Sure.
Just sell it, and I would leave it in cash, which you should be able to yield 2.5% with no risk, and be able to just sit back comfortably and watch the world happen for a while before you make a decision where to put that in more of a long-term position.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. You take care. And I would watch if he's hopefully it's all retirement accounts that it's not going to affect him tax-wise
right.
to do
yeah,
that.
And I'm certainly, yeah, I'm not going to talk somebody out of reducing their equity. That's
right.
For sure.
Good call, Joe. Good question. I got to go to traffic again, but we're on an open show. I don't got any call. Where did I get that from? I do not have any callers on the line at this moment in time. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. That's my Pittsburgh coming out.
I got my
out.
Theories.
That's my Pittsburgh coming out there. And take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Simon and Garfunkel, of course. See? Yep, once again. I gotta go.
You nailed it, sure.
I gotta go. John in Nottingham, how can I help you?
I can't seem to get a definitive answer on holding GLD, the ETF,
yep.
in a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA, or a taxable account to avoid the collectible. 28% tax.
Well, you wouldn't pay any of that collectible tax in an IRA or a Roth IRA. You won't pay any of that if you buy or sell it and you make a profit. But you absolutely will if you do it in a brokerage account.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty straightforward. That's simple stuff there. I don't know where you're having a hard time finding that answer, you know. Because the Roth IRA, John, is always tax-free, no matter what. You know, whatever you put in there, whatever you make on it, is tax-free. As long as you own it for 5 years and you're 59 and a half years of age. You're still there. Did I lose him? Did I insult him or something? I think I might have.
I'm not sure what happened. Yeah,
I'm not sure what happened either, but I might have insulted him, you know, and say, you know. But maybe he got his answer and he left. He said, okay, I got my answer. I'm not going to say thank you or anything. I'm going on my way.
So could have dropped.
Pete in Westminster, how can we help you?
Yeah, I had a question about required minimum distributions. Like when you're 70 and a half, you are option to take the first one or then the next year you have to take both. But what if you just only... the money was coming in, you only want to take half of your required distribution the first year. Could you take 1.5 distributions the second year, or does it have to be the right amount?
No, you can do it. So I turned 70 and a half, let's say, in 2019. Okay, I have until April 1st to get the full required minimum distribution out. So let's say my required minimum distribution is $10,000 and I take $8,000 out during the course of 2019. I just have to take two more thousand out before April 1st in order to fulfill my RMD for 2019. But then in 2020, I still have to take 10 more thousand or whatever it grows to that year. I have to take that out by the end of 2020. So in 2020, I'll pay taxes on 12,000. 2019, I'll only pay tax on 8,000. Right?
Okay.
So that's straightforward. Now, keep in mind, though, Pete, if you're charitably minded, you want to use your required minimum distribution to give to charity. So let's say I typically give $4,000 to charity every year. I got a $10,000 RMD. I'm going to give $4,000 of my RMD to charity in 2019, and I'm going to take the next $6,000 out either before the end of the year, April 1st, whatever is my option in that year. Do you do much in charity?
Yes.
So always, 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 Pete. And remember this rule, too. You have to be literally 70 and a half years of age to begin qualified charitable distributions. So let's say I turned 70 and a half in 2019, but I don't turn 70 and a half until November 6th. I gotta wait until November 7th in order to begin qualified charitable distributions. I can't do it earlier in the year. And in the first year, your qualified charitable distributions always have to be done before December 31st of 2019. The April 1st rule does not apply to QCDs to wait for those first three more months of the next year. Whew. That was probably more information than you ever hoped to get on that, isn't it?
It's some new things that I thought about, but I'd probably have to call somebody before I actually do something like that.
Yeah, well, make sure you do it and do it right, too, because it's probably the most important thing people that are charitably minded starting to get IRA distribution should be thinking about. All right, buddy?
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Good question. Very good question. Anyway, we don't have any callers left online right now, but I don't know if we could take another. We only have about 3 minutes left in the show.
Sure.
But the new article that just came out, I already talked a little bit about tax history.
Yep.
And that's an important – I think that is my best article I have ever, ever written, the tax history one. When you read it, you're going to say, Drew, I was impressed with
that. That was a great one.
That was a great one. But anyway.
Well, it is. Again, the most recent thing, Connecticut raised this. And Connecticut's taxing everything, and the money's leaving the state.
Yeah.
It just leaves. You know, people just, they're not going to sit back and just pay this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway, the other article is called Inertia. And Inertia is the title of the article is Inertia, Public Enemy Number One. Public Enemy Number One. What am I talking about? I'm saying that inertia is the worst enemy to your personal finances. And I talk about numerous situations where inertia causes people to freeze and unwilling to make the move because they just can't get the energy to make the move. And I'll give you a great example of that. People who have money in brick-and-mortar banks, people with money in savings accounts at PNC and Bank of America and M&T and SunTrust and all these other brick-and-mortar banks, and they're paying them literally nothing on their money, and yet they can take it and put it into an online savings account, which is FDIC insured, meaning that it's the exact same risk as in the bank that they're in, and they can have full access with an ACH, an automatic electronic link, back to their checking account. And these banks are yielding 2.2 to 2.4% right now. And if you've got, let's just say, $50,000 in a savings account in a brick-and-mortar bank paying you next to nothing, that's $1,000 or more they're going to pay you compared to the bank you're using. And that is just pure unadulterated inertia that says, I just don't have the energy to do that. And I got, and I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. And they can't make the move. Inertia. And I'll give you another one that I use in the article. And that is the client that calls me up in 2019 and says, Drew, I've been listening to your show for years and I've been thinking about calling. I've been meaning to call. And now I'm calling. And then they come in to meet with us and we do the financial physical for them. And they go, gosh, I wish I would have done this 10 years ago, you know? But inertia,
Sure.
It's just, it's procrastination. It's just not getting that energy to move forward. What are some of the online banks somebody called in and asked Chris about? My favorite right now is MySavingsDirect, yielding MySavingsDirect.com, which is one of the oldest banks in all of America, but they went and changed themselves to an online bank. It's FDIC insured, MySavingsDirect.com. Ally Bank, A-L-L-Y, is a great online bank, and they're
Capital
paying
One 360.
Capital One 360. A lot of guys in my office are using Discover Bank. There are a lot of them out there. You can go to bankrate.com and pull up a list of the best, highest-yielding online savings banks right now.
And these banks didn't just pop up. Ally Bank is renamed. It was GMAC.
Yeah, these are not rinky-dink little banks. Anyway, inertia. Get that article. Read it and find out what are some
of
the
others. At the Education Center.
In the Education Center of the Consulate, and read some of the other things that you're procrastinating on and get those fixed. Make yourself a good bit of money in 2019. Anyway, it's Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Jolly people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna